Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And you know what, Tim? Those emerging generations, they get a bad rap sometimes.
All the time. In fact, Socrates, millenniums ago, was known to have written, kids in his day were disrespectful to elders and lazy. And I thought, this sounds like last week's newspaper.
Could be a Facebook post, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, from an adult today.
It's true.
And it's happened to every generation.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Socrates was talking about it back then. I think it probably happened to you.
No doubt it happened
to me as well. So what were adults saying about kids when you were young?
Well, keep in mind, I was a part of the baby boomer generation. We're senior veterans now, but I was born in 1959. I distinctly remember the 1960s, and if you remember reading, it was history for you, I think.
I think, yes.
Mm-hmm. But it was a very tumultuous decade. There were protests and demonstrations about Vietnam, and there were the shootings, and there was a women's movement that was burning their bras. I mean, it was just a very crazy decade, and the grown-ups back then, about my generation, just thought we were going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
This is just awful. What's America going to become?
Yeah.
Well, of course, now we're the grandparents saying, yeah, kids today.
Exactly.
In fact, during the 1960s was when the term generation gap actually was created.
Yeah.
We felt like there was a gap between the older group of adults that had done things one way and the kids were now radically different. Well, we grew up with television.
Yes.
But if you went to some conservative circles, they called it television. I'm serious. It was like, this is awful. And it was Dick Van Dyke or I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
We were sure it was going to ruin our culture.
Those same people are probably watching TV right now.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
And it's just funny how things are perceived, especially when things change. And I think baby boomers were called that, or that term came about because the baby boomers were such a huge population.
Yeah, that's right.
They just took over.
Yeah,
whatever they thought or whatever the popular ideas of the day just took over. The same thing happened with millennials.
Yeah, you're a millennial generation kid. Okay.
Yeah.
So, What'd you hear?
Well, what's interesting is rather than using our gigantic population for protests and all those things, we just it felt like we just used it to have a good time. So when adults talked about us, it was like these kids are flippant.
Yeah.
They're not serious. They don't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
Do you remember YOLO? You only live once, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like that mentality was around. I didn't like those popular songs back then because I was too cool for that. But that was very much the spirit of the generation. Self-interested, pleasure-seeking. We used, I remember adults used to use the term hedonistic. All these kids are just looking to please themselves and nothing else. And that was very much the sort of spirit of the day. I think we're a little bit more grounded and practical perhaps now, but it is so funny how each generation kind of gets this reputation.
Well, I may have mentioned this to you in the past in our conversations, but I was at a university some time ago where this subject came up. And these were faculty members at the university. But one man came up to me and said, Tim, haven't we always said kids are, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. But he said, they said it about us. And look at us. We turned out okay. And I remember saying to him, you're right. We always have said this, just like we're saying right now on this recording.
Yeah.
But I said, the big difference is I don't know that we turned out okay. If we don't get our act together, we are unable to balance a budget.
Yeah.
At home or in Washington, D.C., we're unable to keep family or marriage together. So I think there's always a we need to know who the kids are, and then we need to equip them appropriately based on the challenges they have.
Absolutely. This became really clear to me as about a month ago, I was after one of the events that I was doing, a mom came up to me and she said, everything that you're saying about Generation Z, these kids today born since the turn of the 21st century, she said, is so true. And in fact, I've got a case study for you. She said, I have two kids, one who was born in the mid-90s, another one who was born in the early 2000s. So a millennial and a Generation Z kid grew up in the same house, same parents, went to the same school, same growing up completely. But she said, my two kids could not be more different from one another. And it goes beyond personality, right? It's not just the personality differences. It feels like they grew up in two different worlds. And I said, well, they did, right? That sort of thing is happening today.
No doubt. It happened in my house. I had my two kids are millennials, but my daughter Bethany was born in the 80s, my son in the 90s. And even though both were considered millennial generations, they were micro generations.
Yes.
And that was the IY phenomenon that we've written about and talked about, where even within a generation, there are micro populations. Andrew, you and I were talking earlier. This is funny to me. because adults always get concerned about the kids not being ready,
yeah.
I went back 150 years. In 1870, it was 5 years after the Civil War had ended.
Okay.
And adults were thinking the kids were getting soft. I mean, those young boys fought in the war. Now they're back. Now they're getting soft. The game of football was invented.
Really?
College football is 150 years old. It was invented because there's no more war to fight. Let's put a war on a field.
Yeah.
So no pads or very little padding.
Yeah, which is crazy to think about.
Well, young men died playing football.
And probably we're thinking, like, we've taken this too far. We wanted the intensity of war, not the actual death that comes along
with
war.
Yeah. Wild. But again, it's an adult population that thinks we got to do something to the kids. So today we're going to share some characteristics, but we're going to try to give appropriate responses.
Absolutely.
So we don't,
absolutely. Because what we don't want is a whole nother generation of adults who go, everything about these kids means they're in trouble, right?
Yeah,
there are some bad things, right?
Yep.
Things that they're dealing with. We'll talk about some of those today. But there's also great things, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And I think when you approach the good and the bad, you need to ask the question of different is just that. It's different.
Yeah.
The question is, how do we react or respond to those differences?
Yeah. Yep, no doubt.
So this actually came from the new book, right? And it's an acronym that you wrote out. And I have found it to be extremely helpful. So kind of introduce it to us. What is this acronym about?
Yeah. So we felt like at least one of the chapters in the book needs to say, here's the qualities that this population of kids has.
Mm-hmm.
So there were seven characteristics that leaped off the pages of data that we read that we're going to list for you now, listeners, but they spell the word partner.
Well, let's jump into it. Let's start with the letter P.
Yeah.
Walk us through it.
So one of the distinguishable characteristics of Generation Z is kids today are more private. Now, I believe they learned this from the millennials, from the bad habits of the millennials.
Yeah, the after effects.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So since the millennial generation, we're the first generation of adolescents that grew up in the digital world with phones and then smartphones. They made all kind of mistakes. You know, predators were stalking them. Employers were watching their posts and not hiring them because they saw what they did at the party. All kinds of bad things happened because the millennials shared too much.
Yes.
So Gen Z is withdrawing from that. You've even seen some just get off social media altogether.
Absolutely.
But there's a privatization of their activity. One common thing we've talked about before is they have an Instagram account, but they have several Finsta accounts, perhaps.
Yes.
Where they can do other things, but mom and dad don't even know about it.
Correct.
So much more private than the millennials.
Absolutely. Well, you were the first person I heard say that millennials preferred viral and Generation Z prefers vanishing, right?
Yeah.
I want a post that isn't going to be seen or is only going to be there for 24 hours, or that's one of why these applications like Snapchat or even posting on an Instagram story as opposed to Instagram main profile would be popular because I'm not going to be held accountable to those posts the same way that I would be held accountable to the other. So these kids are thinking of it as a public social media persona and a private social media persona, and one of them is sort of like a resume they're putting out there for the world, and then they've got this other very curated private world that's what they do online. So it's a very interesting balance of these realities.
Yeah, so here's the data. According to Global Web Index, Generation Z kids are more secretive than millennials about their information and profile, and nearly 6 out of every 10, so a majority, are making a conscious effort to spend less time posting on social media. So that's clearly a reaction to, whoops.
Something's going on.
Yeah, and we've learned from that. So I think that's a good thing. They're more prone to share a vanishing message, like you just said. So I was thinking before, what do we do with this?
Yeah, give us 1 minute on it.
Okay, so I actually think becoming a little bit more private is probably a positive.
Yeah.
Because we've learned from our mistakes. But if moms and dads or teachers are listening to this and they want to know how do we guide them, there are apps that parents can get that actually track the activity of a 13-year-old middle school kid or whatever age you want, and even give the ability to shut off their access to social media after 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever time you choose. But the good news is it's not for us to be controlling. It's just for us to be more guiding. I think sometimes we go, what can you do?
Yeah.
Well, you can do something,
and
we can actually help them become a little bit more healthy on social media.
And I really love it when parents do that, but they do it in conversation, right? They say,
yes.
I'm going to put these guardrails on now, And hopefully in 2 years or 3 years, we won't need them because you will have your own guardrails that you're going to follow. And I'm going to start to hand the reins of these kinds of decisions over to you. But you're exactly right. I think especially early when they get those devices early on, you want to put some guardrails up that kind of hold them to the spaces that you know are going to be better for them to be in.
I think it'd be important for us to point out our worldview when it comes to kids. We believe that legislation might be needed at first in a home, but legislation, like you just said, should not be leaned upon as they get older and mature into young adulthood.
Absolutely.
It should be, I can control my own behavior. Self-regulation is what psychologists call it. So we got to move toward that.
I couldn't agree more. All right. Good. We did pee private. Yep. Walk us to the letter A.
The letter A is, this is something we all know, they're more anxious.
Yes.
So anxiety and depression, panic attacks, mental health issues are on the forefront of the minds of educators, parents, coaches. So anyway, this is unfortunately, we have seen the normalization of anxiety.
Yeah,
we
that's just a expect great it to way be. To say it. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
So Generation Z lives with a paradox. Their lives, as we have said before, are both easier and harder.
Yes.
A parent can look at their son or daughter and go, what are you panicked about? What are you? Yeah. Life's never been better for you.
I gave you everything you asked for.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and you got a smartphone that you can Google the answer instead of going to the library and looking it up on a book.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've created a much, much more difficult scenario. I was just at University of Texas El Paso yesterday, and one of the staff members there said her son, who's 14, is making a 99 in algebra. And I think he's in the eighth grade, so he's even a year ahead.
Yeah.
But he's just stressed out that he's not good enough. And she was having to really, really take care of him. And I'm thinking,
if 99's not good enough.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, 99 would have been, I'm going to play ball now, you know?
We already learned about your math skills.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Yeah.
I had to.
That's okay. It's all right. So anyway. I just feel like we need to understand that this is going on. Sometimes it's self-imposed by the teenager, and sometimes it's imposed by all their peers.
Yeah,
where they see the competition for academics, athletics, like never before. Sometimes we adults bring this on because we're pushing them to make the grade, make the team, make the cut, make the money.
Yeah.
So it's just a highly pressurized environment they're in.
It's interesting. Yeah, I think when my generation, millennials, were growing up, we loved all the choices because it made us feel like we had lots of options. And now what it feels like is those choices have gone from a really cool opportunity to a really overwhelming reality, I think,
that's
for
the
this
word.
Generation.
Yeah, they use the word overwhelmed in describing their lives all the time.
Well, this is a really big topic, but if you could give us a minute on what do you think we should do or what's the right direction to head as
adults? Well, Andrew, you remember in the book we were kind of brainstorming this, and we found some very, very tangible solutions.
Yes.
That outside of medication, which might be the answer in some cases.
It is. Yes, certainly.
So one is the easiest to implement, first of all, is margin. Helping these young people have some space in their day that's not filled up with structure or activity.
Absolutely.
You and I need margin as grown adults. Well, I'm a grown adult. I think you're an emerging adult, Andrew. But anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. Margin in their day. You're not laughing.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. margin in their day. Movement. Sometimes the anxiety is on the rise because our bodies were made to move.
Yep.
And we've got to get up and get moving, activity outside.
Yeah. The 21st century leads itself to a sedentary lifestyle, but we've got to just got to be proactive where we didn't used to have to be.
Another one we talk a lot about in the book is mindfulness.
Yes.
And for some circles, this might be a scary word, like, what are you talking about? But it's simply enabling your young person to focus their attention, to stop multitasking and start monotasking.
Yes.
And to be mindful of one thing. To think, to breathe, to stop and actually breathe consciously, very, very important. And this lowers anxiety.
Yeah.
And then the last one we talk about is just managing. We need to give them coping skills or at least offer them the ability to cope, not coping mechanisms, but coping skills.
Yeah, those are great. Those are great. And if you want to dig deeper on, obviously, the Gen Z book is a great place to do it. Yeah. We also have a free ebook called Stressed Out that Tim wrote that also covers those topics. That's really helpful. But let's move on. So we've done private, anxious. Give us the next letter.
The third one is these kids are more restless.
Mm.
So almost all the data we show, there's a migration from Gen X to Gen Y to Gen Z in restlessness. So they're a fluid generation. They're fluid in the way they see themselves. Fewer are binary in their understanding of sexuality. But way more than that, our focus groups related that a large percentage of middle school students derive their identity from social media, which means that's going to be up and down.
All the time.
I don't just put it in my family name or my talent that I've got to do this or that.
Yeah.
Or where I sit in the lunchroom. It's a fluid, ever-moving, ever-restless reality.
Yeah. In fact, I got the pleasure of writing a whole chapter on this in our new book where we talked about fluid identities, right? Jumping from one personality to the next on social media without integrity, without wholeness that goes along with it.
Yeah.
And this is truly a key issue. In fact, one of the key issues of today's world.
Yeah. So here's some of the data. 11% of Generation Z has been diagnosed with ADHD.
Whew.
So previous generations, well, my generation, they didn't even diagnose that.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a term.
There was probably a few of you running around, but.
That's right. Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
but anyway, that's just a large number, and that's just the ones diagnosed. Who knows how many more? So if you're a teacher and you've got 25 kids in your class, there might be three or four that just have a hard time sitting still, maybe even more.
Yeah. So. Another interesting, this is sort of a caveat, but one of the things that's like truly restlessness is they're actually getting less sleep than previous generations too. That's a whole other aspect to this. That's probably only perpetuating some of these other realities that we've been talking about.
No doubt about it.
So give us a minute on it. What do we need to do? I know this is another big topic, but.
Well, it is. And because restlessness is both physical, mental, my identity, it's a broad topic to try to answer. But let me just share this. I think one thing my mom and dad did for me when I was growing up that gave me a sense of stability in terms of my restlessness was helping me identify my strengths, my talent, my gifts, so that there was a sense of sameness and integrity, if you will, on who I saw myself to be.
Yeah.
So I remember getting cut from my junior high basketball team, which is not the end of the world, but today it might be.
Yes.
My mom and dad quickly reminded me, you've got a gift in artwork.
Yeah.
This is really, nobody can take this away, and you can develop this. And I remember even when I did not make this team or that cut or that show or that play, I had this gift that I could do better than the average person and maybe even create a career out of it. And I did it first. So anyway, that's just important for us to work with these kids to help them find what God-given strengths do you have that you could build an identity.
And this is so important because that's the thing that our culture is not pushing them to do a lot of times. When I go from social media profile to social media profile, the easiest thing for me to do is to not have a foundation at all. And what you're saying is I need something that's going to be true about me no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what team I'm on or school I'm in or any of those things. That's exactly what they need. I love that.
And so one thing I'd add is to help them find their strengths and then help them to use it on behalf of others. We talk about that phrase, solving problems and serving people. So I had to identify my gift. I remember my mom and dad had me do some things with it that was really going to serve people.
Yeah.
That was, looking back, I think that was a brilliant move.
It's awesome. All right. We've been through three. Yep. Take us to the fourth one.
All right. The fourth one is they're more tech savvy.
Yeah.
This is one that needs very little discussion. We all know they are, but it's their natural habitat. Your generation grew up with cell phones. Gen Z grows up with
social media
and smartphones.
Yeah,
exactly. So according to a 2018 study by the National Institutes of Health, kids who use smartphones, tablets, or video games are more than 7 hours a day are more likely to experience premature thinning of the cortex. This is a very debatable concept. Some say that's not true. Some say it is true. But I just think when we overdo anything, especially time on screens, it can have a damaging effect.
Yes.
So we just need moderation. That's what we need. Yeah.
Yeah. And anytime you get up to 8 to 9 hours a day doing anything, you're at risk of overdoing it, right?
It's true.
If you work 9 hours a day, 7 days a week, we would say you might be a workaholic, right?
This is
the same thing is true. I might be a screenaholic if I'm on
the
screen that much, which is exactly what's happening for a lot of these kids.
Yeah. So a marketing firm that we've looked at, Sparks and Honey, say that Generation Z multitasks on 5 screens, not 2. Back in your day, too, was, oh, my gosh, what's going on?
Yeah.
But now they have 5 in their home.
Absolutely. And that's not necessarily about they're looking at 5 screens at once. It's about access, right?
That's
and I think that's the big difference is these kids can jump from one device to the next with a certain degree of fluidity, right? And sometimes there are 3 or 4 screens on at once.
Yeah.
I'll have parents who are telling me, my kid was – quote unquote, doing homework on their computer.
Yep.
They were also scrolling through Instagram with their left hand and changing the channel on the TV with their right hand. And that's a very normal place for a kid today to be And it's one of the outcomes of this very tech-savvy world they grew up in.
No doubt.
Awesome.
So,
give us a little bit of what we do. A
couple of thoughts. Both of these, you listeners might have heard us talk about briefly, but I really think this is a great opportunity for us as adults to practice reverse mentoring.
Yeah.
I need to learn from that kid that is at home in this smart world, and that has figured some things out naturally, even at 10 years old, perhaps. So I talk to faculty about this all the time, learn as well as teach. And I think that's something we can do with these kids. And then I would say it would be important, in light of this tech savviness, to get them offline to build soft skills, not just online to build hard skills.
Yes.
So they need to be good with screens. They're probably going to get a job that somehow uses a screen. But you all know this of us. We so believe in building employability skills that put me face-to-face with another human being. I can look them in the eye. I can shake their hand. I can create positive conversation. I can inquire about someone else's life. Oh my gosh, OMG, this is something employers are looking for.
Absolutely. We probably don't need to point this out, but whereas you can build math skills, science skills, lots of those hard skills on a screen, you cannot build your social skills or your emotional skills on a screen. You just can't, right? And if we would say those are valuable skills for a student to have, we've got to ask the question of where are they going to get those things? Where are they actually gathering them from? Okay, so we've been through a couple here. We've done private, we've done anxious, we've done restless, we've done tech savvy. So we're on to the letter N. Tim, walk us through that one.
Okay, they are a most and more nurtured generation.
Yes.
So this is actually a positive, but what we mean by this is because the adults who raised them, taught them, coached them, and even employed them saw the stressed out nature of their lives and saw that there's so much going on in their lives. They're overstructured and probably overscheduled. We decided we would nurture. And I think that's a natural maternal, especially instinct. In fact, we talked to a lot of moms and dads. The dad's the brick and the mom's the velvet. You know, it's the
or vice versa, right?
That's true. It can be. So the nurtured thing is our response to their stressed out lives.
Yeah.
And I believe it's good, but I believe we can overdo it. So we have to just be wise and careful. In fact, that's one thing I would give you that's just real, real practical. My wife and I talked about this lots and lots as we raised our kids. As the millennial generation grew up, we began to get fearful. We began to get fearful of child abductions. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Of drugs, illegal drug use. Although that had been around, it became huge for the millennials. And so we just went on a safety-obsessed track.
Mm.
And while it was well-intentioned, sometimes we overdid it.
Yes.
And we now the kids were unready at 18 to leave the home because they'd been so nurtured.
Yeah.
So I would just say, as you lead the emerging generation, don't lead out of fear. Lead out of wisdom.
Mm.
Take the subject of playing in traffic. My wife would go, oh, don't you get hit by a car. Well, I'd say, honey, you don't need to tell them they're going to get hit. Don't paint the scenario they're going to get killed. Say it would be wise to look both ways and use wisdom so it's not a fear-driven motivation. I just think that may be more than semantics. I think it's a good basis
That's
for
great.
Making decisions.
That's great. Okay. Well, all right, so we've been through several here. Let's go on to the next one, which is the letter E.
Yep. So the letter E is entrepreneurial. I loved the data we read on this. A 2014 study from a consultancy firm, Sparks and Honey, that I mentioned earlier, found that 72% of high school students want to start a business.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. So instead of working for the man, as we said back in the day with the baby boomers, they want to start something, want to build an app or start a company that's going to be maybe a nonprofit, but it's going to be a startup. So this is very, very typical in the gig economy that we live in now, where we're going to have gigs going on. Uber is a great example of this. So an Uber driver, he or she can control their work time.
Yep.
I'm going to drive for 3 hours and stop, and I'm paid by job. So it's kind of contractual in that sense. But this is the mindset that Gen Z has. I'm hearing the term, there is a vocation rotation. Now, you know, it's just, we may have five different, things going on in our life, and I'm just rotating because I get bored and because there's so many things I want to do.
Yes.
But they're entrepreneurial for sure, and I think we need to tap into this.
Yes.
I actually believe, now, are all of them going to succeed? No, they're not. All of my generation didn't succeed at starting businesses. but we need to foster. What is it you have a passion for? Expose them to needs in the community and say, what could be done about this? They might surprise you with what they're able to think up and pull off, and we can guide them in that sense. So I feel like that's important.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's the advice you would give, like, look at them and go, they've got this entrepreneurial spirit. They're growing up in a world that's empowering them. Let's give them ways, mm-hmm. give them opportunities to develop yeah. this. Not throwing problems at them, they're going to overwhelm them necessarily. Yeah. They got enough of that already.
Yeah.
But looking for an opportunity to say, how can I give them a really good challenge that's going to capture that entrepreneurial yeah. spirit and sort of give them the opportunity to leverage that strength
exactly.
and that gift.
So here's a good example. I met a mom some time ago, a few months ago, who found that her daughter was just really, really, really into baking, as many, many kids are. Especially girls. And so she yeah. said, well, we need to capitalize on it. She said to herself, we need to capitalize on this. So she said, well, let me help you find recipes for cookies and so forth. And then she said, now, sweetheart, if you love baking, you're going to make a lot of cookies. We need to figure out where could we give these away? And they began to give cookies away to nursing homes.
That's awesome.
That were nearby. And then they found so many people wanting to do it, they began to sell them to people that weren't in nursing homes. And the little girl was able to monetize this product she'd made.
Yeah.
Now, the cost of goods was mom, but the child realized the
investment happened.
That's
from
right,
the mom.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
But it was a great way for a 9-year-old little girl to yeah. begin to see I could start something.
Yeah, I love that spirit of like when you see something happening, going, what could you do with that? How could you expand that? How could you yeah. offer that to the world?
Yeah,
and I think that's what it looks like to capture this entrepreneurial spirit. All right, so we've been through almost all of them. We got one last one. Give
yep.
it to us.
The last one is actually a second cousin to the previous one. Mm-hmm. These kids are more redemptive.
Yeah.
And here's what we mean by that, listeners. They're more inclusive and accepting of different races, sexual orientation, backgrounds of gender than any generation before them. They want to do something that matters.
Yes.
They want to do something, if I can use the cliche, that changes the world
yes.
in some way, that moves the needle in some way. So I believe this is a good thing. Now, we may need to move them away from over-idealism,
yes.
but I love the fact that they want to do something that matters.
Absolutely.
There's less willingness to go work for a company when they're 18 or 22 that just makes widgets, that doesn't somehow make the community better
yeah.
than just widgets, so we need to tap into that. But I just believe this is a positive thing that's going to actually make our world better in this very polarized culture we live in today. They're actually wanting to do something that improves things.
Absolutely. So for those boomers out there, the spirit is actually pretty similar to some of the things that
yeah.
we saw happen with the
That's
civil
right.
rights movement and a lot of the things that people wanted to change, especially in the 60s and 70s. In a lot of ways, we're seeing some of that right now with people
yeah.
going, hey, civilly, this is not right. We
yeah.
got to fix these problems. And what a great characteristic of this generation that we should be tapping into.
So one of the things I've liked when I look at the numbers is, you're right, the baby boomer generation can relate to this. In the 60s, I remember us protesting bad things, but far too often the protests became violent. And while there is violence today, usually it's not fostered by Gen Z. It's the older groups.
Yeah.
Millennials, Gen X, boomers. So Gen Z is now wanting to protest gun violence
yeah.
or protest things that really ought to be protested.
Yeah.
So in March of 2018, we remember this March for Our Lives
yep.
thing that was very controversial. Adults listening, I realize some were for it, some were against it. But the point we have to make is—
The spirit of the thing.
Yeah, the spirit of the thing was, I want to do something about this Parkland shooting that just happened in this school. Have we not had enough?
Yeah.
And these kids, 400,000 of them across the country, connected on social media—
Yes,
and did something that was nonviolent and had a pretty good message. So
I can't think of anything that my generation, though we were bigger than
yeah.
the Gen Z kids, that 400,000 of us came together about.
Yeah,
anything, and that's one of the things I love about the spirit of this
yeah.
moment that we're in with these kids is even though they're overwhelmed and anxious and
yeah.
all those kinds of things, they also feel so empowered to make changes.
Yeah.
And I, every chance I get, I look them in the eye and say, go for it.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
I love that spirit.
Yeah.
I love that spirit. Well, if you don't mind, I want to go back through these and just read them
yes.
one last time. In fact, I'm going to attempt to remember them as best I can. But the first letter P is private. The letter A was anxious. The letter R was restless.
Mm-hmm.
The letter T was tech savvy. N was nurtured. E was entrepreneurial. And R was redemptive.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really interesting capturing of this generation and even
yeah.
how they're specifically different from
yeah.
the millennials that came before. But of course, it's one thing to talk about this generation. It's another thing to meet them. And you've had several interactions and even stories that you've come across of individuals within this generation who are exhibiting these characteristics. And I know you wanted to talk about a couple of those.
Yeah, I'll do this really quick, but I think it's important, listeners, for us to leave with pictures. So there was a young man, a teenager, born in Mexico. His name was Julio Rios Cantu, whose mother, when he was in middle school, got breast cancer, a tragic thing that happens to millions of women around the world. Well, they captured it late, and she had to have a double mastectomy. So he watched his mom go through this very tragic surgery and the pain and the, it was just bad. Mm-hmm. But he was a teenager, a young teenager, who the rest of his teenage years, he decided, I got to do something about this. Now, he's not 30. He's not 40 years old. He was 13 when it happened. By the time he was 18, 19 years old, he and two of his friends had created a women's bra that can be worn twice a month for early detection of breast cancer.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's being made available now.
Yeah.
Now, he's in Mexico. So, again, I just think, what a cool thing that this kid in Gen Z feels very empowered by his smart devices to do something without the authorization of an adult. And thank God for Julio.
Absolutely. Every kid today within this generation has the ability to gain access to the information that Julio used to solve this problem.
Yep.
And so it's amazing what they're able to do.
So one more, female.
Please.
A few years ago, a 16-year-old girl named Ann Makasinski, she actually was on TV when I first heard about her. She was on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show.
Yeah.
But she was being interviewed because of something she had done. Once again, where she didn't wait for some adult to tell her she could do it. She had a Facebook pal in the Philippines. And they would interact quite often about their lives and the differences and the sameness. But one day, Anne asked her Filipino Facebook pal how she was doing in school. And her friend kind of got quiet and said, well, I flunked a grade. And Anne said, you flunked a grade? You're smarter than I am. Yeah. How can you do that? And after some prodding, she found out that her friend in the Philippines, her home did not even have electricity. Wow. So when the sun went down, she had no light to do homework. And without homework, she failed her classes.
Mm.
Well, Anne didn't just feel bad for her. She did something about it. And the reason she appeared on The Tonight Show is because she had created, Andrew, a body-powered flashlight. Her 98.6 degree body heat, when you hold a flashlight, lights it up, and she sent it over to her friends so she could hold the flashlight, do her homework, even in a dark room.
Amazing.
She later built one that she could wear something around her head so she could just look down at her.
Headlamp. Yeah, that's amazing.
And, of course, Jimmy Fallon, who just is much like me in this sense, as the little girl, young girl, 16, 17 years old, walked off the stage, he said, I think I'm probably going to be working for her one day.
Yes.
So, and I think, yes, this is what they're capable of doing if we just lead them well.
Yeah, whereas an adult might go, oh, what a bummer, or here's some money to throw at that problem.
Yeah.
The kid says, let me solve the problem.
Yeah.
And I love that spirit. I love that spirit. Well, thanks for sharing those stories, as well as this acronym. I think this is going to be helpful as we all think about Generation Z, how we can understand them, but also how we can lead them really well. So thanks for giving us some application on that. If you want to dig in deeper, this acronym was first published by us in our brand new book, Generation Z Unfiltered. You can find out more about that book at GenerationZUnfiltered.com if you've yet to pick it up. I think it's a helpful resource. We made it very practical. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be academic, but we also wanted it to be practical.
Yeah.
You like to say...
pracademic.
Yes, pracademic. Yep. We made up our own words whenever we can. So please check that out, GenerationZUnfiltered.com. As always, if you would rate this podcast, that really helps us out, gets the word out about what we're doing here. If you want to connect with us on social media, we would love to connect with you there. We're at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore, pretty much everywhere you are. I don't think you're on TikTok, but I think we're...
I'm fighting it.
Yeah,
I'm fighting it.
Generation Z loves TikTok, but Tim's not there yet. Although I'd love it if you posted videos on TikTok. I think it would be hilarious. So that's our that's social media. And the last one is email. If you want to suggest people we might interview or topics you want us to cover, questions you have, we were actually just emailing a couple of folks back last week. So if you want to shoot us an email, it's podcast@growingleaders.com, podcast@growingleaders.com.
Now, Andrew, I am on email.
You are on email, for a few years now.
I'm hip. Yep.
I love that. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thanks, Tim, for leading us, and we'll see you next time.